Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports, the Big Friday Show, and the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. We'll give you a question. You give us your best 30-second take. If you dazzle us, you will win a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, be it lunch, be it happy hour, be it dinner. You better be at BJ's. No better place to spend the weekend. It's like going to Disneyland, Rodney.
It is. Disneyland in your mouth and in your stomach.
I've never heard that phrase. Wow, Disneyland in your mouth.
I coined it just now.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
A Splash Mountain in your mouth. You ever experience that? Hell, never mind.
Oh, let's let that one go, Fred.
Yeah, we'll let that go.
Yeah.
Okay, a lot to get to on the show today. We are going to talk about LeBron James and the Lakers, but Kevin Love, who went to UCLA, currently plays with LeBron, made a very interesting statement yesterday, and perhaps telling, about what LeBron may be thinking. We'll get to that during the 1 o'clock hour. This hour, David Vasse will join us at 12:20. I got a report here. Somebody, one of our deep throat sources, somebody that, you know, listens to the show and said, hey, I've heard something, and maybe you should know it. This person indicates that they may be calling up a reliever from the minors. We'll ask Vasse if he knows about it. Because, you know, we have our sources, Rodney.
We have a lot of deep throats around here.
We really do.
We do. We make our living
right
on deep throats.
And a lot of times people make stuff up when they send it to us. So we always check. Unlike the person that said, four industry sources have claimed that LeBron James is coming to Los Angeles. And it turned out to be some kid's podcast at Loyola.
19-year-old kid's podcast at Loyola, right?
Hey, I'm just saying, I'm not sure about that. And somebody grabbed that. We usually don't take that approach.
Yeah. But that's the world we live in now. You can say that. And sometimes a lot of people don't even check.
Right.
They don't do their homework. They don't fact check it.
Back in the day.
It goes viral.
Back in the day, it was important to be first. But I would suggest that it's always more important to be right. Because the way it works today, if you don't have it and somebody else has, you look like you're behind.
Yeah.
You look like you're chasing. And then if you come on and have it right, the other person said, well, we had it first. We were just working on it. So, I mean, it works that way in news all the time. All right. So a lot to get to, David Vasse. 12:30, we'll separate fact from fiction and make you the smartest person in the room. Off the top, Dodgers back home tonight against Atlanta, very much in the thick of it. You can make the argument right now that by far the Dodgers are the best of the West, even though they're not in first place. They're hitting the ball. Their pitching has been superb. The bullpen has been incredible. But one of the big reasons has to be Matt Kemp. This is a guy that nobody thought would even be here. This is a guy that they acquired simply so they could dump Brandon McCarthy and Scott Kazmir's deals and get them off the books. By the way, McCarthy pitches against the Dodgers tonight, so I think it'll be a big night for the Dodgers.
Big night, and you know, we've been saying it all season long about Matt Kemp and what he brings to the team. And you can't not talk about the fact that a lot of people didn't think he was going to be here. He was just a filler for a minute, and he's, you know, they talked about he lost a lot of weight, he's in shape, and he looks like the Matt Kemp of old, where he's playing like the Matt Kemp of old, and he's been vital to this Dodger team and their resurgence. I tell you, you know, we laugh and joke about it, and you got the button, Fred, and you coined that phrase, a name game, when it comes to professional sports teams playing that. And I would, you know, this All-Star talk, you know, who should be in the All-Star game is Farhan Zaidi and Andrew Friedman. Because they held their ground when people were coming at them and people said, trade this guy, get rid of this guy, send this guy down, do all that kind of stuff. They said, put it on me. We have a system. We have a plan. We have depth, and it's trust our judgment, trust our depth. And it's paying off right now because they could have easily been like some of the other teams and go out. Oh my God, we got to panic. We got to go get this guy, that guy, this guy, this guy. And they didn't do that.
Yeah, you know, and you think, if you listen to the station, I get it on Twitter all the time. Oh, you're kissing up. Oh, you're not asking the hard questions.
No.
But let's really be honest about it. Those guys did accept responsibility. I thought that was an enormous moment. When Andrew Friedman said, you know what, just put it on me. I'm a big boy, I'll take it. You want to blame somebody in May, I'm your guy. Farhan, blame me. Yeah, I'm with Andrew. I'll take the heat. Get off their backs. And that shows an organization that takes care of their guys.
Yeah, 100%. And you could see why they've been successful and guys want to play here is because when you have that from up top, that no one's going to throw you under the bus. Look, we're going to talk about LeBron later, and he has to deal with an owner that basically that's what he lives for, is throwing guys under the bus. And you don't have that here with the Dodgers, which is why when you got the top brass believing in you, and even when you're struggling, it means a lot. And it gives the guys confidence that, hey, nothing drastic is going to happen. They believe in me. I'm going to be allowed to work myself out of this slump, which we're seeing from guys like Cody Bellinger and Jock Peterson, even Pedro Baez. I mean, as a guy that was, everybody wanted to run out of town. Now he's coming back.
On my Cy Young ballot again. Back on my Cy Young ballot. So, Pedro Baez.
So it starts from the top, and you're right. They fell on the sword, and it's paying off, but that's what you want from leadership.
Okay, Dodger fans, here you go. The name game. I'll give you the name. This is the name they're speculating. It's early, but they're speculating. Cole Hamels.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Hamels could be available. Dodgers always need a pitcher. You know, we've seen this movie, as you, Darvish. Cole Hamels. Do you go get him? I'll tell you what I would say. No.
Nah.
No. No.
No.
Nunca. Fool me once.
Nadie.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, whatever George Bush said. I don't even know. So the point is, I would not go and do that. Look, Ross Stripling is an all-star. Ross Stripling is one of the best pitchers in the National League. And when do you have somebody stand up and admit and say, wait a minute, this guy's good? Yeah. Well, we have to go out and find another, do we? There might be one sitting right here. You might have that in Ross Stripling. He goes tonight. No, Buehler. Yeah. Walker Buehler Walker. Tonight. Stripling tomorrow.
Yeah, you have that. You know, and it's been. Guys go down, another guy jumps in, and look, the Dodgers have done some things they really hadn't done in the past a whole lot. They did a bullpen game. You know, which, you're doing a bullpen game? How's that going to work out? It worked out fine. And as you mentioned, the bullpen is carrying its weight now. But, no, you don't need to just go run out and get someone when you've got people that you've scouted, that you've brought up through your system, that you know that can pitch given the opportunity. And it's just like Alex Wood last year. You know, given that opportunity through injury, through, you know, other situations, he was thrust into the starting rotation and became an all-star. Same thing with Stripling this year. So, who's to say there's not another Stripling, another Alex Wood on the bench or ready to come up and do his thing? So it's not time to go out and rush out and sign Cole Hamels just because he's got a name and had history in the past of doing well.
All right, so let's get to the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question. 866-987-2570. Let's talk right now MVP. Very early. But, you know, you start formulating ideas about who your MVP could be. Can you give us any reasons at this point in time why Matt Kemp is in that conversation? Does Matt Kemp deserve to be right now, and it's early, but people start talking about it, the MVP conversation? And give us the reasons why, or give us the reasons why not. 866-987-2570, that's your number. You give us a call, and if you dazzle us and tell us why Matt Kemp should or should not be in the MVP conversation, you'll get a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. So Wednesday night, Rodney, was Channel 4 night at Angel Stadium.
Oh.
So all the Channel 4 people went down there. I went down there with Chuck Henry, Colleen Williams, Fritz.
Yeah.
Myself, Hetty Chang, Vicky Vargas was there. David Bigger, who works on our weather team, was there. And Colleen and Chuck threw out the first pitch. Colleen gets on the rubber. We had done it before. So she gets up on the rubber, and I'm standing back there because we're all watching.
Right.
I said, you better get off the rubber. You're not going to throw it from here. She gets on the rubber. She runs. She runs to the catcher, wraps her arms around him, and hugs him. I'm thinking, what the hell is she doing? She ran up and hugged the guy. She hadn't thrown the ball.
Is she Morgana?
She comes back. She gets on the grass, and she throws a good pitch. I'm thinking, all right, everybody claps. Way to go, Colleen. Now it's Chuck Henry's turn.
Did she actually run to the catcher?
She ran.
Did she?
And I've never seen her run. She was stepping.
Good for her.
She was stepping. All right. So now it's Chuck Henry's turn, you know, our guy, Chuck.
Yeah.
He gets up on the rubber, and I go, Chuck, what are you doing? I thought he was going to run up and hug the catcher, too. Rodney. He gets on the rubber, and he pitches. Oh, God.
No.
Right. What are you doing? Why? I'm yelling, no. Get off the rubber. Get in front. He just threw it. Afterwards, I said, and it was terrible. I said, why did you do that? He goes, well, Colleen got up there. I said, Colleen ran and hugged the catcher, Chuck. She didn't throw it from the rubber. He goes, Well, I didn't think it was that bad. Then he looked at it. He goes, that's pretty bad. Yeah, well, that's pretty bad.
Oh, no. Did he bounce it or did it just go wide right, wide left? What was it?
He kind of spazzed out.
Oh, no.
And
not Chuck. Come on.
Yeah, he kind of spazzed. And he threw it to the right. And it didn't bounce. But honestly, and I give the guy who caught it from the Angels credit, because he could have suffered a separated shoulder trying to catch this. It was way to the right and kind of, it was bad. It was bad.
Oh, no. Yeah, if you don't practice and you're not ready for it, then get in front and get on the grass and just toss it. Just toss it so it's a good throw that gets there in the air. But if you get on the rubber, you better had practice or you better had done something beforehand. It's tough enough if you're not doing it every day. But then to do it in front of a crowd where people are watching and people are probably anxious to see you throw a crazy pitch like 50 Cent did one time. Or Carl. Oh, my God. Or Carl Lewis or somebody like that. Just don't do it. Don't put yourself through that. Don't let ego get you in trouble. That's going to be a lasting video for the rest of your life.
I can assure you, if Matt Kemp was on the rubber, he would have thrown a strike. Is he in the MVP conversation? 866-987-2570. We're going to start sprinkling these calls in. If you're online now, you're going to get on. And if you want a piece of BJ's, I would get online at this very moment. Up next, David Vassay. We'll check in with the Dodgers back home tonight. 12:30, separate fact from fiction, make you the smartest person in the room. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, is Matt Kemp in that MVP conversation? If so, why? If not, why? Your best 30-second take gets you that $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Nash in Ontario, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Okay, so if we're talking about the last month, he's definitely in the consideration. The only problem is we have Jock Peterson who's playing really well. So the Dodgers collectively have work to do, and they're still fighting for position, so he's not a natural.
Oh, we lost him?
Oh, no, wait a minute. Go ahead, Nash. Keep talking.
Yeah, he's definitely in the consideration for the Dodgers, if he's not the National League. His batting average, home run, hey, this is his resurrection year. He's going to be the World Series MVP, too. I'm out.
All right, nice job. Been interrupted.
Yeah.
But he still made the point.
And ended with World Series MVP.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are going back.
Well, no, I he's certainly a true believer. Edward in Ontario, go ahead.
What's happening, guys?
Go ahead.
We got Matt Kemp leading the league, National League in average. And I don't know what the stat was, but he's batting, I don't know, 400, 500, 600 with runners in scoring position. And the Dodgers are just sunk without him. It's insane how well he's locked in at the plate. Defense, but he's more than making up with that with this offense. I'm out.
All right,
yeah. And he hasn't been that bad on defensively either.
Not as fast as he used to be.
No,
quick.
But not a liability like people were saying early on. He's not a liability. I mean, he's not Puig, but he's still doing his thing out there.
Lewis in Long Beach, go ahead.
Plain and simple, proof in the pudding. I was one of those guys back when, the speculation. He's not even going to wear a Dodgers jersey or a Dodgers uniform for the season. And now we've got a bobblehead night in September. I'm out.
All right.
Good take.
That's the barometer of success.
Yeah.
They don't give you a bobblehead if they don't plan on keeping you.
But he changed his tune, which is good.
All right, if you're on hold, stay there. We're going to get to you. Let's bring on now our buddy, our insider, the very worldly, the host of Off-Day Dodger Talk, David Vassay. Hello, David.
Wow, those calls were exhilarating. I'm glad I waited on hold to get on with you.
Don't you start.
Don't you start with our callers, David Vassay.
Don't you be Petros and money.
No,
I
got
your back. Am I supposed to say I'm out, too? I mean, isn't that like from 1995?
Yes, a la Ryan Seacrest.
You're not winning BJ's.
Oh, yeah.
Who ruined it.
Yeah, Seacrest, right.
Yeah, you're not getting BJ's either, Dave. How do you like that? You could have had BJ's restaurant.
I haven't had BJ's in a long time, Fred.
Okay. All right, let's go. Matt Kemp, is he an MVP candidate right now, although it's early?
Of course he is. And actually, the first person I heard mention this was Kevin Kennedy when he was broadcasting the games with Rick Monday last homestand. And when he first said it, I thought he was crazy. But you got to really seriously consider him. If the season ended tomorrow, he definitely would be the MVP. Maybe Freddie Freeman from the Braves would give him a run for his money. But yeah, Matt Kemp would be in the top three at the very least of voting for the MVP if the season ended tomorrow.
Yeah, and we're a third of the way done, Dave. I mean, are we beyond the fact that, oh, this is just a hot start by Matt Kemp? He's going to come back to reality soon, or he's going to come back to earth soon. There's been enough sample size that Matt is doing the right things. I'm talking about hitting the ball the other way, going with pitches, his approach to the plate, all those type of things that you see a guy that's consistent. I see that in him.
Yeah, you're right, Rodney. And that all started in the offseason. And that started with Torii Hunter, who joined us on off-day Dodger Talk, like Fred mentioned the other night. And he really talked about everything that Matt Kemp did with him and basically took on the same lifestyle as Torii did when he was in the later years of his career, having a personal chef, working out each and every morning, getting himself right, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually. And Torii really was a big mentor to him to get him right. And it didn't just start this offseason. Torii said it started last offseason, but unfortunately Matt got injured and it never really played out to full fruition. When Matt was healthy the first 2 months last season, he was one of the best hitters in the National League. The only question, Rodney, is can he stay healthy? And I think the Dodgers are doing a very wise thing, not playing him every day, picking their spots on the days they decide to give him a rest. I know it's hard to do that since he's been so good, but he's got to be on that Justin Turner type of plan where they play him maybe five, maybe six at the maximum per week because they got to keep him fresh. They got to keep him on the field and they can't afford him to get hurt.
Yeah. And you talk about Justin Turner, you know, when fans found out he was coming back, they thought, oh my God, he'll be in the lineup every day. This is great. I think some people actually surprised Dave that Dave Roberts has given him a couple of days off.
Yeah, and what I was talking about was his knees, and his knees had bothered him for a long time. This is completely different with his left wrist that, as you guys know, got fractured by being hit by a pitch. And talking to players around the league, they told me, don't expect Justin Turner to be the same guy that you saw last year as the same guy before he got injured. That's a very serious injury. And you've seen, even though he's been able to put together some hits here and there, the power is still not where it was before he got hurt. And that's really all due to this left wrist, which Dave Roberts admitted was sore. And that's the reason why he only played one of those three games in Pittsburgh, and that's including a day off on Monday. So the Dodgers have got to be very careful with him as well and not expect him to be Superman, because that left wrist just doesn't all of a sudden respond. You just all of a sudden don't have your perfect swing because of that injury. And he may not have the same type of season that we saw last year. He may get it, but it may not come until July or August. That's still a real possibility. But I think everybody should temper their expectations for him, because this is somewhat of a season-altering type of injury for a hitter that depends on his timing and also getting that bat through the zone quickly.
No, absolutely. Hey, Dave, just can you talk about Dave Roberts? Because I'm thinking about this, and a few weeks ago, you know, he's getting bombarded by questions about Cody Bellinger, Jock Peterson, Pedro Baez, guys, and, you know, or, you know, even lately, should we send Cody Bellinger down? I mean, there were people calling for his head. But his relationship with the players, his honesty with them, seems to be better than most. And I know you're in it every day, but it seems like the players trust him, even when things are going bad, but even when things are going good, they trust him as well. And that's a great relationship for a manager to have with his players.
I think more importantly, Rodney, the players trust each other. They built a really tight bond last year, and a lot of these same guys are back. The majority of these same guys are back. So he's very fortunate to have players in that clubhouse that police themselves and hold each other accountable. And Joe Torre always said that helped him when he first started managing the Yankees, to have guys, have veterans like Paul O'Neill and Derek Jeter and Jorge Posada manage each other, hold each other accountable. And Dave, I believe, has benefited by the same thing by having guys like Kershaw, Utley, Ethier before the Dodgers decided to buy him out of his contract. Matt Kemp has been a guy that'll keep you accountable. So he's very fortunate to have very, very good veterans that hold each other accountable.
Great point.
All right, Dave, before we let you go, I got a tweet from one of our listeners, and they said Daniel Corsino did not travel to Fresno with Oklahoma City, meaning he may be called up to be in the Dodger bullpen. Have you heard anything about that? Do you know who that is?
I have not heard anything about it. He was not on my radar, honestly, Fred, but the Dodgers are in desperate need of arms. fresh arms because they have used that bullpen in the last 20 games over 80 innings.
Right.
And that's not something that's sustainable. And that's something that no other major league team can say they've done, 80 innings plus out of their bullpen in the last 20 games.
All right, Dave, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
I'm out.
Massey, look at you.
Dodger fans, visit Outback Steakhouse today. Mention the Dodgers hit 3 home runs yesterday on AM 570 LA Sports. You'll receive a free Bloomin' Onion only at Outback Steakhouse, locations in Southern California. Limit one per table. Matt Kemp, is he in the MVP conversation? Yo, Adrian in Los Angeles. Do it in 30 seconds. Go.
You have to consider Matt Kemp in the race. Look at his stats from 2011. It's pretty much mirror. Without Matt Kemp, the Dodgers are nothing. These guys are feeding off of him. Any game he plays, they're in it to win it. You cannot consider Matt Kemp, especially when he was taken away in 2011 from Matt Braun. Boom.
All right. He didn't go out. He went boom.
He went, yeah.
He boomed it.
Everybody's got a little moniker that they're using now.
I like it.
What do you think, Vic?
Maybe it'll help
dig
you for BJ's.
Dig it.
Then again, maybe it won't. Corey in Long Beach, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Good.
Matt Kemp is not the Dodger MVP. That's Justin Turner. The hot streak started when JT came back. If you want to consider Kemp for, like, offensive player of the year, comeback player of the year, okay, fine. I'm just happy he's not crying in the dugout anymore. When that girl wouldn't return his text. The real Dodger MVP is JT, and everybody knows it. Thank you. I'm out.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it.
Okay, but it was Matt Kemp holding things together when JT was out, if you remember.
You know what? Don't let the facts get in the way.
Please.
It's very unnecessary.
Well, he didn't like him crying in the other guy when that girl didn't call him back, I guess.
Well, that wasn't good.
I don't know what that means. I know.
Talking about Rihanna.
Yeah. I'd be crying too, Rihanna didn't return my call.
We have breaking news. Vic has breaking news. Go ahead, Vic.
Ohtani-san, this is a bummer. Not just for Angel fans, for all baseball and the hardball universe. Gingerly placed on a 10-day disabled list, Ohtani has a grade 2 sprain of the UCL of his right elbow. Everyone thought it was just a blister, but it's beyond that. Angels are treating Show with platelet-rich plasma and stem cell injections. He'll be reevaluated in 3 weeks.
Didn't he have that before the season?
Yes. Possible Tommy John surgery, or maybe just rest and rehab, will do the trick. He's only 23, but everyone thought the blister, he'd miss a start. It more aggravated. It's that grade 2 sprain of the UCL of his right elbow. This is a bummer for the baseball universe.
You know something? And Rodney, you can speak to this. If he's going to need Tommy John, because we found out this rest and rehab only tells you you're going to need Tommy John.
At some point.
You're going to need it. Wouldn't you rather just get it done?
Yeah, you would think so. You would think even if it comes out of someone's mouth, like they're doing the rehab and they're looking at him, say this is possible that he may have Tommy John surgery. Like you said, Fred, more than likely he's going to have it. And he's 23, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's nowadays it's a rite of passage. You know, most pitchers got to have it at some point. And to do it while he's young, you might as well do it and get it over with.
A severe blow, not only to global baseball, but, the Angels' AL West chances. He's been hitting .290, gets 4 wins. He strikes a guy an inning at least. He's been playing so well. And this is just it's sad and it's... It goes right to my Kishkas. This hurts. Yeah,
and they've been protecting him. I mean, he hasn't been pitching every day or playing every day and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what else you can do because they've been really conscious of we want to keep this guy healthy.
Maybe too protective.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, are you ready to join the dream scheme? It is free movie Friday thanks to our friends at Adam Tickets, the Adam Tickets app. We want to hook you up with tickets to see Ocean's 8 in theaters today. Text ACTION to ATOM1 for your chance to win. Standard data and text message rates apply.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
And joining us today, a return appearance. You've won, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I've won a couple times.
Don't be saying it like you get all kind of confidence like you just win on a regular basis.
Well, it's
I think
true.
You maybe won once.
Twice, and maybe I'm 2-1.
No.
Yeah.
It is Michelle from the control room. Michelle, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Here we go. Good luck to both of you. Nevada homeowners asked one of its residents to remove a large Las Vegas Golden Knights flag hanging over his garage. The owner vowed that the flag would stay up and accused the HOA of being sympathetic to the now Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals. Flag, homeowners, sympathies. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Yeah, I've dealt with homeowners. You've dealt with homeowners, Fred. I mean, they can, you get a couple of people on that homeowners association, they can be rough. You know, you get the little old blue-haired lady. Sometimes she causes a ruckus. I could see where that happened. I'm going real.
Michelle.
But everyone in Vegas is a Knights fan. So I'm going to go.
Everyone.
Well, you know what? This is a new thing for them. I'm going to go, that's fake.
You're going fake.
Fake.
You're going wrong.
It's real, boy.
I missed that little dance.
No, you don't want to see the dance. That means you're losing.
Oh, right, right, right. Okay, I'm going to look at you.
No, the goal is for you to dance. Speaking of the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
Capitals player gets stomach pumped after partying in Vegas nightclub after winning Stanley Cup. First reported by TMZ Sports, Capitals centerman Nicholas Backstrom was checked into Desert Springs Hospital Medical Center last night after winning the Stanley Cup. Backstrom was reportedly seen leaving Intrigue nightclub around 4 a.m. with the help of his girlfriend. It was reported early this morning Backstrom was heavily intoxicated and required a stomach pump late last night.
Ooh.
Michelle, celebration, stomach pump. Is that real or fake?
They do party hardy.
They do.
I would have heard about this. I'm going to say fake.
Wait, why would you have heard about it?
Because I'm on the Twitter all the time.
The Twitter. Not just Twitter. You're on the Twitter.
I'm on the Twitter.
Are you on the TMZ Sports? Because that's where it was, not on the Twitter.
Oh, man. I already said it was fake.
Now you want to rethink it.
No, it's fake. I'm on the Twitter.
She's on the Twitter, Rodney.
I buy it. I could see this happening in so many scenarios. I really could. I just don't think it happened, though. So I'm going fake.
It's all fake news.
Ah!
It's phony stuff.
I told you, I'm on the
You are on the Twitter.
You're on the Twitter.
Well, leave it there, Fred.
Yesterday, during the NBA Finals off-day media responsibilities, Kevin Durant confirmed that he will re-sign with the Warriors and explained that one of the reasons for leaving the Thunder in the first place was, quote, "I was looking for more consistent play from my teammates. And obviously, I have that here with this group." That's true. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Ooh. Was it his count or burner count?
His. He said it during the off-day media responsibility.
Oh.
This was not Michelle on the Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I'm going real. Yeah, Kevin, he likes to throw some shade from time to time. I'm going to say real. Absolutely.
Michelle.
I have to agree with RP here. I'm going to say real, yeah.
Yeah, you should have never done that.
It's all fake news. Oh. It's phony stuff.
Should have never agreed. Got a chance to get back in the game.
I know.
Yay.
All right, I'll get him this time.
Mets minor league pitcher Aaron Laffey was the starting pitcher last night for the AAA Las Vegas 51s. By the end of the evening, he had given up 14 runs and immediately after the game made the decision to retire from baseball. Michelle.
This has fake written all over it. His name is Laffy.
See how I did that? What I did there?
Yeah, I see what you did.
That was impressive. So you're saying fake?
Yeah.
You don't buy Laffy?
No, Laffy Taffy, no.
No Laffy matter.
No.
It's too fake that it's real, so I'm going real.
You're going real?
Yeah.
Well, Rodney, you're right.
It's real, boy.
What?
It's real.
Oh.
It's real, boy. It's real.
Oh no. Oh, look at your crew in there. Your interns are all happy because they wrote that. All right, whatever.
Jack, Jack, was that really real? It was real?
Of course it was real.
Oh man.
All right, that was good.
They're just happy when they get one of us. It doesn't matter who. They're just
exactly.
happy.
Former American goalie Hope Solo is not in favor of the United States winning the bid to host the 2026 World Cup. Yesterday she said, "I would like to think there's another country out there who is more deserving than the United States." I'm sure the president would not consider her comments very warm.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
But did she say that? Hope Solo. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Wow. Hope has done some crazy things.
Yes, she has.
Yes. I've seen photos. yeah, I can see her saying that. I'm going to say real. Yeah, oh, I can see her saying that. Absolutely real.
I was going to say that because she can be crazy.
Yes, yes, she
but
can.
But you know what? I gotta win this game, so I'm going to go fake.
Yeah, you are going to go fake. You're playing for the win. Is that right?
It's fake. I'm playing for the win.
You just lost.
See, but I told you I knew it was real, but I just said fake to say fake. I know they're dancing behind me. You're dancing in front of me. It's like a Friday dance party in here.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
I haven't seen a beatdown like this since Clubber Lang beat Rocky in Rocky 3.
Adam is producing for Jason today. Jason took the day off, and he actually took the day off some time ago. So here is the final question. The actual reason Jay Stu is out today is what are you laughing about?
There's because so many reasons. Go on.
Yeah, but this did not surprise me.
Okay.
The actual reason Jay Stu is out today is because he is currently at the happiest place on earth, Disneyland, with his son. Michelle, is that real or fake?
No. That's fake news, baby.
You call him a bad father?
No, he's a great father.
Well, then why wouldn't he take his son to Disneyland?
Because I don't think his son is at age that he'd want to go to Disneyland.
California Adventure?
No,
Disneyland's for all ages, Michelle.
Disneyland is for little.
All
littles.
Ages. I still love to go to Disneyland.
Okay, bye.
All right, you said fake.
Fake.
Rodney?
Let's see. Disneyland is kind of near Orange County. Cal State Fullerton baseball is playing right now. Kind of a coincidence. I'm going to go real.
He's going real.
Going real.
Michelle, it makes no difference. You still lost, but you were right.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Congratulations, Michelle.
Way to go, Michelle. Thanks for playing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just like usual. Just like old times.
I'll get you next week.
All right. Have a good weekend, Michelle.
Oh, thank you. You too.
BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question. Is Matt Kemp in the MVP conversation? Why or why not? Let's go to the G-Man. The G-Man's in Pasadena. Come on, G-Man. You're on AM570 LA Sports.
Hey, Fred. Good seeing you at the injury game. I was the guy in the dugout the other night.
Oh, nice. But, good seeing you.
Yeah, right. Anyways, no way is Matt Kemp the MVP. No way. They traded him years ago for a reason, and he's just on a little big hall pass. But JT, like everybody else has said, he's the real MVP. Now give me my BJs. I'm out.
All right. Wow. G-Man stepping up. He's bringing it.
349 average, 10 home runs, 40 RBIs. I mean, what else has got to do for people to believe that he's in the conversation?
Hit 750.
I guess.
Got to hit 750. Let's go Raymond in Fullerton. You're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Well, guys, I disagree with the last caller. I think Matt Kemp is definitely MVP. Because to be MVP, you have to be consistent in all categories, and he is. Not only his batting average, his home runs, runs scored, runs batted in, he's Mr. Clutch. He's driving in runs when they really, really need it. He's come through for them a lot. And he's a team player, so that's why I think he should be the MVP.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. Thank you.
Good take. And where would the Dodgers be without Matt Kemp?
No, it would. The bad start, they would have been buried.
Yes.
You know, without him?
Absolutely.
It would be over. The season would be done. Now they're very much alive. All right. We'll award BJ's in the next segment. We'll try to get a couple of more of these in when we come back, though. Next hour, we'll get into LeBron talk. So hold on for that. But when we come back, you know, if you're acting old, maybe you are old. And we have somebody that's going to tell you how to be young, or at least act it. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM570 LA Sports.
We aim to please.
That's why we're here.
That's why we do what we do.
We do it for the kids. We do it for the people.
Yeah. You know, we're givers, Fred.
We would do this for free.
Yes, we would not.
That's exactly right. No, we wouldn't. We would not. All right. So, you know, sometimes you're old and you refuse to be young. Every morning we have a meeting before we go on, although it doesn't sound like we do, but we do. And we go over a number of topics. And a major contributor is Josh the Internet Man. And he keeps an eye on what's trending nationally and locally. And we have websites we go to that supply us information so we know when we come on the air what you guys are talking about and what you're interested in. And he came up with a very interesting comment this morning. Washington won the Stanley Cup last night. You know, I'm a huge hockey guy. You know, we don't talk a lot about hockey because people don't want to hear it. But the point you made last night is that you really thought, Josh, and you watched that game, that the Stanley Cup final has been more exciting than the NBA finals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a huge basketball fan, but just the whole nature of it. I mean, you have two incredible storylines. You got Ovechkin after 13 years. He's always been the guy that could never get the job done. Sort of, if you're in LA, maybe think about Chris Paul, if he can finally get that title. And then on the other side, you got Vegas. You have this city. It's an expansion team playing for a championship. You go out there, and it's just the environment. You got Lil Jon performing outside the stadium, Bruce Buffer and pyrotechnics for the intros. And then you have, even though, you know, it was a short series, you had a back-and-forth game. Like, last night, there was no shortage of drama. And then you go to the NBA, and it's just kind of like ever since J.R. Smith messed up on that rebound where he runs out the clock, me as an NBA fan, I kind of checked out at that point because, you know, it's just going to be the Warriors rolling over him again.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I'm not a big hockey fan, but the excitement around it, like you mentioned, it's two teams. You know, one team in the Capitals that, you know, been longing for. You got a player that everybody roots for, has been waiting to get this opportunity. It finally does. And then you got the expansion team that everybody's like, oh, you know, how did they get there? And they just been exciting all year long, and they actually get to the finals. So it is intriguing, but again, for you, yeah, it's intriguing enough for you to check out, but I'm still watching the NBA over the NHL, unfortunately.
What do you say about younger people, Josh?
I said for younger people, I think if you start to see some of these other sports fall off with interest for whatever reason that might be in the future, I think you will see younger people, because this is what I see, you know, on my social media feeds. You know, for the first time in a while, I see people that are sort of getting more disinterested with the same, seeing the same people in the finals. In the NBA, but versus hockey, I see people actually interested in this. And for me, you know, the biggest takeaway from this is, like, you look at the NBA finals and what's everybody talking about the whole time? LeBron James's free agency. I mean, if the biggest story from the NBA finals is something that has nothing to do with the NBA finals, I think that kind of says a lot about where you're at.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I agree with you in that respect, but does it, the thing with hockey, and it always has been for me, because I've been to several games, and it's always, whenever I go, I always come out of there with drenched in sweat and have all kind of adrenaline going, because it's great to watch.
What are you
live.
Playing?
Well, I mean, it's
drenched in sweat.
Well,
it's
not
two?
Sweat. It's the beer that the guy spilled on me from the sitting next to me. But the adrenaline and the excitement in the arena is unbelievable. It's unmatched. But does it translate to watching it on TV? That's the thing that always got me.
Well, it doesn't.
Well, what I was telling Fred, though, is for me, it's the perfect sport to watch in a bar with your friends. You have it on in the background. You know, you have intermission, but once that intermission's over, you have action for 20 minutes as opposed to, let's see, you know, how we have more commercial time than we have playing time in a finals game for the NBA.
Yeah, I think it was a terrific series. And as you mentioned, Alex Ovechkin, who had been waiting so long and really is an incredible player.
And how about that moment after the game, him lifting up the cup and just screaming?
And how about that moment, him lifting up the cup, screaming, skating, and then you could see that a woman, right on the glass, basically pulled her top down and said, hey, here you go. You got two cups. There are two full cups right here. Not just the one that you're carrying around the ice, my friend.
And then 2 hours later, they're partying in the club with DJ Tiesto.
There you go.
I stole this take from Dan Wojcicki in the bullpen just now, but he said every single elimination game should be played in Vegas, and I can't disagree with him.
That would be something interesting. It's ready-made to party no matter where you come from.
Yeah, like I said, 2 hours later, you go from holding up the cup, 120 minutes, you're out there partying with DJ Tiesto in the club.
And they said, by the way, that the owner of the cap said, it's going to be the biggest parade known to mankind. They are going to lose their mind in Washington. And the other thing, just one other note, their coach, Barry Trotz, used to coach the Nashville Predators, and he's very much like a legendary baseball figure by the name of Walt Williams. But Walt Williams actually went by the moniker Walter No Neck Williams. Do you remember Walter No Neck Williams? The guy whose head was just on his shoulders and he had no neck? Barry Trotz is like Walter No Neck Williams. If you look at pictures of the Capitals coach, he has no neck. And I'd like to point that out.
And you say that to say what? Fred, that he has no neck.
Right, he has no neck. And it's the first time, I just checked the Elias Sports Bureau, the first time in NHL history that a coach with no neck has led his team to the Stanley Cup.
Historic.
Oh my God.
Guy has no neck.
Let me put that in my stats.
Would you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to LeBron talk next, though, where he's got a neck. But we're going to award BJ's right now. Who is going to award it? Josh or Adam?
Well, this is all me, Fred.
All right, Adam. Who wins BJ's?
Someone who is very mean-spirited. But it made Kevin and I laugh. So it's going to Corey in Long Beach with this call.
Matt Kemp is not the Dodger MVP. That's Justin Turner. The hot streak started when JT came back. If you want to consider Kemp for, like, offensive player of the year, comeback player of the year, okay, fine. I'm just happy he's not crying in the dugout anymore when that girl wouldn't return his text. The real Dodger MVP is JT, and everybody knows it. Thank you. I'm out.
Corey in Long Beach, you want a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House, over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, the one-of-a-kind Pazookie dessert. Adam, what was up with that?
Yeah, Adam, I'm
what,
not a big,
what was
I'm
up not, with that?
I'm guessing he was referenced Matt Kemp's relationship with Rihanna from years ago.
And that's why he won?
Yeah, it was funny.
I just thought it was entertaining. I mean,
in the dugout?
The guy had to jump line one of the biggest slumps ever for an MVP-level player, and the only thing people could draw to was he was struggling with Rihanna back then. That's all.
All right, Curry, well, you're a winner, thanks to Adam. When we come back, Kevin Love said something. We're going to let you hear it. May give you an idea or a hint about what LeBron James is planning to do. It's Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on the Friday Show on AM 570 LA Sports.
A Sports Now.
Vic, before you go, am I nuts? Do you remember Walter No Neck Williams?
Icon of the White Sox 80s, Walter No Neck Williams. Love him. Love him.
He had no neck. His head was basically attached to his shoulder.
He had to have some neck.
Fan favorite.
All right, does Barry Trotz, the coach of the Washington Capitals, have a neck?
Separated at birth.
Right. Both are no neck.
No necks.
That's my point.
Yes.
Ever tell you about CeeLo?
CeeLo Green.
No. CeeLo, not CeeLo Green.
Oh.
CeeLo was a guy.
That's what I thought he said.
I know CeeLo Green. I thought he was talking about CeeLo Green.
No. When I was growing up, they had these little fairs in Phoenix, like these little carnivals, and you'd go, and you get to go see CeeLo. And CeeLo was a guy, and obviously he was born, but he made a living looking like this.
He was
born kind of a little off. His hands were like in his armpits, and his feet were like where his legs started.
Come on, man.
And he would wobble around like
this.
Come
on, man.
And he'd smoke a cigar.
I'm leaving the room.
And he was called CeeLo. And you'd come in, and you got to take pictures with him. And then he would like wobble around and chase you. So it's not impossible that Barry Trotz has no neck.
That sounds like Mr. Potato Head, Fred, what you just described.
He was like a Mr. Potato Head with arms and feet.
Now we know he'd have his own show on Oxygen.
Please send your please send your letters and comments to Fred Rogan. It's
Fred show.
No, what are you sending me letters for? I actually saw it.
You saw it.
Right, and I saw JoJo the dog face girl.
That helped mold you.
JoJo the dog face girl was a girl. Sure. I swear to God, I took my 13-year-old girlfriend to see this.
It's like Ringling Brothers, Barnum Bailey Circus. So sideshows.
He had hands on his armpits and feet with his hips.
Yes. Yeah.
They formed your youth. They formed your a lot of philosophy.
Look at me now.
Look at you.
This because of that, I am the way I am.
Because of CeeLo. Just want to reiterate, bummer for the baseball universe. Ohtani son. Gingerly placed in a 10-day DL today. I am bummed. Look at me. I'm a wreck. Grade 2 sprain of his UCL of his right elbow. I originally reported earlier it was just a blister, but now it's much, much worse. Angels treating show with platelet-rich plasma stem cell injections. Possible Tommy John, but in the moment, rest, rehab, tranquility, upshot, kawaii. So, as they say in Japan, it's very sad stuff. And Dodger fans, visit Outback Steakhouse today. Mention the Dodgers hit 3 homers yesterday on AM 570 LA Sports, and you will receive a free Bloomin' Onion only at Outback Steakhouse locations in Southern Cali. Limit 1 per table. Mo lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. Come on now.
Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Those were real stories.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. I'm,
haven't you ever been
I
to one of
that.
Those little...
I have. No, I have. But I'm just... Thank God we're on radio and not TV to watch you describe what you're talking about.
And he smoked a cigar.
Oh, my God. And he smoked a cigar.
And he talked like this. And he goes, I like to kiss all the girls. And he would kind of waddle after him and chase him. It's true.
In the world.
I'm telling you.
Okay. What was his name again?
That was CeeLo. Oh, CeeLo Green? No, the first CeeLo.
The original CeeLo.
The original CeeLo. Not the impersonator, CeeLo Green.
Goodness me.
All right. So we want to let you hear some audio from Kevin Love. Now, you tell us if you think this gives you an idea or a hint about what LeBron James may be thinking. And Josh made a great comment. We're in the NBA Finals, and the only conversation is, what is LeBron James thinking? It really has nothing to do with the Warriors. It's brilliant. Deflect everything from the series as you're about to get annihilated and worry about the future. Here is Kevin Love explaining the NBA philosophy.
I think if you have a chance to win in this league, you have to go for it. I mean, I can remember when I had missed the playoffs 6 straight years, and I, you know, kind of decided that I wanted to win, and, you know, ended up, you know, being in a bunch of trade scenarios and ended up here and, you know, winning in 2016, but and teamed up with LeBron and Kyrie and, you know, all those guys that won on the 2016 team. That Rockets team is, you know, like they always say, they're built to try to beat them, and they went to seven games in the Western Conference Finals. So I think you'll see a lot of that around the league, and that's always going to be the talk because, I mean, somebody has to, you know, try and dethrone these guys and, you know, work their way to that.
All right, so that's the conventional wisdom that I think exists. The objective is to win. And he's basically sitting there and telling you, guys want to win.
Yeah, and I think he was extremely candid because he could have answered that question so many different ways and just been short and just let it go. But I think he was being honest. And then to inject himself in it, because he was sitting in a situation like that when he was in Minnesota. He was a dominant player, couldn't get any help, and decided, hey, at some point, I got to try to win a title. And he ended up in Cleveland, and he got one in 2016. So he was very honest and very forthright in saying that. Is that an indication what's happening, you know, going to happen with LeBron? Maybe so. I just think there's a lot of scenarios out there that LeBron and his camp still are going to try to wade through. And it just, you know, to me, it seems like that he hasn't really sat down, meaning LeBron, and just really thought through everything just yet. He's waiting for all this to go over and the series to be over, and then he'll sit down and do it. But all the speculation right now is just speculation to me.
You know, Colin had a couple of points this morning, and one of them was, look, as far as his brand goes, there's no better place to be than L.A. As far as his brand goes, lifestyle, there's no better place to be than L.A. I can buy lifestyle. I mean, it's a winter league, and it's, you know, not 35 degrees and snowing here. But as far as his brand, he's not the average guy. He already transcends. And that being said, his brand will succeed and prosper wherever he is.
It will. And I think that, and I heard that too. And I think the part of it is, okay, there's success, but then there's levels of success. And the thought that if you're in LA, you're more apt to get to a level that's a little bit higher, saying that he stays in Cleveland. I think he gave the example of Magic Johnson played in Philadelphia. He would always been Magic Johnson, but not to the Magic Johnson that he is by playing and being a Laker and being here in L.A. Because in between games, you can take a meeting with Bob Iger, you know, head of Disney. You can take a meeting with the power brokers in the entertainment business on a regular basis rather than flying out here. They can come to a game, meet you in the locker room. That all has advantages. So to that point, yeah. But his brand is not going to diminish. It's just the level of how high it can go by being in L.A.
Do you think he still wants to win?
Oh, yeah. I think he definitely wants to win. I think that it doesn't go away. And I think that it's still a burning desire with him. But it's not as far away than being happy and building that brand. I think at one point, maybe even last year, winning was so far ahead of everything else that it didn't matter. He just wanted to win. Whereas I think now, especially after this series, it's winning is still at the top, but that brand building, that next step in my life is getting closer to the winning part.
If that's the case, then LA might be a destination. But yeah. I always viewed it as, if this guy is an incredible competitor, and if he shows up to win. And while you're playing, there's nothing more important. The brand building, if he wants to meet with Bob Iger at Disney or any of the major studios, you know something? He can meet with them. Granted,
yeah.
Not Tuesday, because he's off and he's living in L.A. He can always get those meetings. He can always get those meetings. And you know something? Those guys might even go to him to have those meetings.
Absolutely.
Because he's him.
Absolutely. But it goes to there is a little different caveat when you are actually in that city, and those guys, the entertainment folks, can they have a box at the game. You know what I mean? Oh, come up and say hello after the game. I mean, those type of things where a lot of deals do get made, a lot of situations happen. It's a little bit different. And I've known a great guy like Magic Johnson over the years, and nobody is better at being in the crowd, being in the moment, understanding his surrounding, understanding who's around him, who's the power players in town, and then working that situation. And him being in LA put him on a whole different level than some of the other guys that played in other cities.
If he had played in Philadelphia as the example,
yeah,
you know what market he would have owned? New York, because yeah, it's right down the street. He would have owned the New York market. You know what I mean? Because he's still close to Madison Avenue.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It would have, you know, but again, it's the New York-Philadelphia rivalry that may not have worked, but he certainly would have owned the East Coast, and certainly New York being, you know, an hour train right away, it would have been easy for him to get there. But still not to the effect of it being here, Showtime, taking advantage of everything the Lakers were, the brand itself, the people that were excited about. You remember, you know, 80s Laker games were as good or as big as any nightclub, restaurant that you could ever go to. There was nothing like it. And he was there at the right time and is now still taking advantage of it.
Report today that DeAndre Jordan, and this was the report, in his perfect world, would be interested in going to Houston and joining the Rockets. Well, let's start with this. Anybody that wants to win would be happy going to Houston to join the Rockets.
It's not a stretch. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, so if you want to win and you think you've got a shot, you'd go to Houston and join the Rockets. And he can opt out of his deal at $24 million.
Right.
I think, though, for DeAndre, who we love and is a great guy, you know, the window closed for the Clippers. Chris Paul still may have a chance on the right team. I think it also closed on DeAndre. I don't see him winning a title.
I don't see, and I don't know if the attraction or just a demand for him like it was a couple years ago will still be there. And then you talk about the Rockets. You got Capella there.
Yeah, who would you rather have, Capella or DeAndre?
Capella is going to give you more offensive points.
And he's younger.
And he's younger. And he's the rim protector like DeAndre is. So they're almost the same guy. And with the Rockets part ways with Capella to bring in DeAndre, I don't see that happening.
I don't either. Yeah. I think it's a frustrating spot for DeAndre to be in.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
If I'm DeAndre, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
If I'm DeAndre, I'm riding out the Clipper thing. I want to be here. It's L.A. I'm going to ride this out, help build the team around me, get some players in here. I'll still be here. I'll finish my career out here. That's how I would ride it out.
Well, and that would be great for DeAndre. Yes. It would be terrible for the Clippers. But it'd be fantastic for DeAndre.
But that's what I'm saying. If I'm DeAndre, that's how I'm speaking about it. I'm trying to be here for long term.
Yeah, because when that window closed,
yep,
and there was so much excitement around that team, as that window started to shut, everybody's value became diminished. Now, not Chris Paul. Blake Griffin is not the player everybody thought he was. He will never be the player everybody believed he was. He's not. He's a good player.
Right.
You want him on your team, but he's not that guy. DeAndre, he's not that guy. So as the window closed for those Clippers, I think it also closed for those players.
Yeah, and especially Blake Griffin, I think more so than DeAndre, because he was the heir apparent, right, to Chris Paul, and they paid him so and then traded him away. And now he's gone to obscurity, you know, where you didn't even hear about him the last half of the season.
And you won't.
And you won't by him playing elsewhere. But he wasn't the guy that can carry a franchise and put a team on his back and go win for you. And I think, you know, the Clippers realized that probably too late after they signed him to the big deal, they realized that he's not going to be that guy. You know, mistake on their part. But I think you're right about DeAndre. DeAndre needs help around him. And Chris Paul, as they've seen, was such a big asset for DeAndre and helped his game elevate to a whole different level. And now that he's gone, we see a different DeAndre. And I don't know if he can get that back or where he can go to get that back.
Yeah, I think it's over. He's still going to get paid an awful lot of money, but he's not going to be the player that he was or people had hoped he would be. When we come back, let's try to put to rest the controversy surrounding the Rams uniforms. Let's try to get an answer today, once and for all. We'll do it. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Yeah, I'm here too.
You're always here, Fred.
I'm here. All right. Ram fans are upset. Ram fans are tired of it. They want their team to wear the jerseys they want them to wear. And our Rams insider, an NFL expert, and our buddy Vinny Bunn Sr. joins us on the show. Vinny, how are you?
I'm doing good, and there's quiet optimism that Ram fans and the Rams are going to get their wish here pretty soon with a lot more leeway to wear their throwback uniforms, if not as many times as they want, then substantially more, and that would be a good thing for everybody involved.
Now, those are the ones with the gold in them?
Yeah, it's like the Eric Dickerson jerseys, the basically the throwbacks that they've been wearing their first 2 years in Los Angeles is what overwhelmingly, that's what Ram fans in Los Angeles want to see them in. There's a combination of because that's the Rams that they remembered, and also nobody likes the St. Louis era uniforms. It's a bad reminder of the years that they spent in St. Louis, not in Los Angeles, and of bad football. The Rams were pretty bad wearing those uniforms. So between those two things and the fact that...
But they won a Super Bowl in that uniform, Benny.
No. I don't think so. I think they won the Super Bowl wearing the uniforms, their throwback uniforms.
Why don't they go back to the old blue and white? That's the one I like, the really old ones.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of fans who like that uniform set as well. That's one of the reasons why they went to that helmet. That's the current helmet that they're wearing, the blue and white of Marlon Olsen and Roman Gabriel and those guys. But I think if you talk to the average Los Angeles Ram fan, it's the Eric Dickerson era, the ones that they wore from about 1973 all the way through when they changed it to the current colors.
Yeah. Hey, Vinny. On another note, what are you making of the Terrell Owens not going to the Canton, man, and the whole thing where he's saying he's honoring his commitment to snub the ceremony?
That's a tough one. I think that whoever's advising Owens made a huge mistake on this one. This is the honor of a lifetime. Part of the whole charm of it is getting up there and in front of your peers, your fellow Hall of Famers. And in front of all these fans that supported you with every team that you were on and all eyes on you as you explain your journey and how thankful you are to be there. I think that's a moment that everybody, it's not that we deserve that, but it's part of the whole thing. And for him to deny himself and everyone else that part of it, I think was a really bad move. But, there's time to hopefully rectify this. I know he says that he's not going to be there, but we're months out from that. Maybe there's a change of heart. Somebody can maybe get to him and say, hey, the right thing to do would be to be in Canton, just like everyone else has, and give everyone, including yourself and your family and your fans, that moment.
All right, Vinny, where are we with Aaron Donald?
Well, whatever leverage Aaron has is quickly dwindling. He's most likely going to be at minicamp next week. Otherwise, he loses $80,000. I don't think he's going to make that move. So chances are we will see him next week in Thousand Oaks, probably not participating, but being there and being present. Then what the big date is August 8th, and that's the date where if he's not in camp, whether with a new contract or on his current contract by August 8th, then he surrenders his right to become an unrestricted free agent at the end of this current season. So he becomes what's called a restricted free agent. What does that mean? Well, that means that first of all, the Rams would preserve the right to use the franchise tag on him. If he goes out and gets a deal from another team, they have the right of first refusal. If they don't match it, then they get a first-round pick out of it. But all the leverage goes to the Rams. They pretty much have it all anyway. But it all goes to him at that point. Then the other date becomes, let's say he decides, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to skip training camp altogether. And let's say the holdout goes into the season. Then it becomes the 10th week of the regular season. If he's not there by then he gives up the right to even be a restricted free agent. What does that mean? Well, it means that, A, the Rams could theoretically use the franchise tag on him, to keep him at that rate. Or they could just re-sign him for the next year at 110% of his current salary, which works out to about $7.4 million for the 2019 season. He's obviously worth more than that. Nobody wants to see it come to that. But that's the leverage that the Rams have over him. Hopefully, not that he comes to his senses, but he realizes, look, they're willing to make me the highest paid defensive player in the league. That's about $20 million a year, if not a little bit more, plus $70 million in guaranteed money. It's probably time where that starts looking really, really attractive against whatever it is that he is asking for. And I've had people in the NFL tell me that he's looking not just to be the highest paid defensive player ever, but he's also looking for top quarterback numbers, which would be unprecedented. The Rams would never do that. I don't think any team would do that because you're looking at $24, $25 million plus $80 million in guaranteed and wrecking your salary cap to be able to go sign Todd Gurley and Jared Goff, you know, and Brandon Cooks and Marcus Peters, the other focal points and foundations of this team. So I don't see that happening. All leverage is with the Rams. Now we'll see how Aaron Donald's going to play it.
Yeah, as you say, all leverage with the Rams. So then what's the tension level on both sides? I mean, you know, we've been talking about this for a year, and we talked about, oh, it'll get done before the season started last year, and it'll get done during the season last year. It'll get done right after the season. Here we are getting ready for another season, and it's not done. What's the tension level, Vinny?
You know what? That's the weird thing. There really isn't anything. And I have to say that, you know, based on my reporting, I don't see that there's really much urgency right now, even on Aaron Donald's part. I think part of that is, you know, he's just going to wait till the last possible second to push the Rams as far as he can. And one of the things that comes into play is Khalil Mack. Mack was drafted in the same draft as Aaron Donald. The problem for Aaron, and if he's waiting to see what Khalil Mack signs for and then goes to the Rams and say, I want, you know, $1 more or $1 million more or whatever more, he's going to obviously want to top that contract. But again, the leverage there is with Khalil Mack. He was drafted 5th to Aaron Donald 13th. What does that mean? Well, that means that Khalil Mack goes into this year making $14 million to Aaron Donald $7 million. So if there's anyone in a good position to wait out the other guy, it's Mack. He's basically making double what Aaron is making. So I would suspect, and I've been told, you know, by people in the NFL, don't expect anything to happen with Khalil Mack until after this season, part of which is he's waiting to see what Aaron Donald makes, and he's in a good position to wait. So even that, if you're using that as leverage for Aaron Donald, it's probably not a good ploy because Mack is in a better position to wait out Donald.
All right, Vinny. Well, thanks for jumping on. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend.
All right, you guys too. Take care.
You too. There he goes, our Rams and NFL insider, Vinny Bonsignor. Let's go, Vic.
Sure. Yeah.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
All right, guys. Good call or bad call for Terrell Owens to skip the Pro Football Hall of Fame ceremony this summer. We got into this a little bit with Vinny a second ago. TL came out yesterday saying he is not going to attend the Hall of Fame induction ceremony coming up in August. Some believe he's being a little bit petty because he's been snubbed for the first couple of years of his eligibility. One writer even said if he had known that TO was going to boycott, he would not have voted TO in at all. Good call or bad call for TO to skip the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, Rodney?
Yeah, it's a bad call. Look, you lobby for it for years and years and years, and you finally get in. Go be a part of it and take it all in. Everyone that I know that's in the Hall of Fame, you know, the life that they live afterwards, the things that they get, the fringe benefits, all the things that they get because they're wearing that gold jacket, is something that lasts a lifetime, and it's beyond just that day of recognition. They live a full year of doing things. So it's a fraternity like no other. Go be a part of it, because if you snub them at the ceremony, then the other guys in the hall are probably going to snub you too. Which you don't want.
Fred?
It's a bad call. Have some respect. Respect everybody that came before you. Understand what this means. Realize that everybody, as he well knows, because he didn't get in, everybody doesn't get into the Hall of Fame. You're not bigger than the Hall of Fame. You're not bigger than the game of football. Have some respect and show up.
How about you, Vic?
This is a horrific call. This is like urinating on every bust in Canton, Ohio. What, T.O. wasn't the first ballot Hall of Famer? Who the hell cares? So it took 3 years, T.O. What's this grudge? What's this insane mindset that's going through Terrell Owens' mind that he can turn his back? And Fred, you had a great story on KNBC Channel 4 last night on the situation we talked with you a couple years ago.
And he said he didn't care at that point.
Right.
He said, oh, I don't care.
Doesn't care.
Doesn't care. I don't care if I'm in or not. Apparently he cares.
He cares.
Yeah.
Bad call.
Yeah, before we move on, I guess the crux of his grudge, at least according to some, is the fact that he wasn't, the reason he was given for not getting in the Hall of Fame sooner was not because, oh, there's so many guys ahead of you, in front of you. It's because many writers, including one who said he wouldn't vote for him, went back to 2015 and 2016 and said, this guy was a bad teammate. There were five teams that didn't want this Hall of Fame talent on their roster. So the writers are holding it against him that he was a, quote, bad teammate. And that's the reason why they left off. So they believe he's being bitter about that.
Yeah. All right. Now it's beyond the writers, though. Now it's a club of players.
Correct.
So you just got to move on from the writer part of it. And I get it. A lot of guys are bitter about that because the writers have their own little grudges. You didn't treat them well in certain ways. They're not going to vote for you. I get that. But that now it's time to be beyond the writers and the petty stuff.
So the writers were claiming he was disrespectful back then. And he's being disrespectful now.
Exactly. Yeah. One city he played in was in Philadelphia, so we'll go there for our next story. Good call or bad call for the 76ers to consider Sam Hinkie as a replacement for Brian Colangelo. You know, Brian Colangelo, quote-unquote, resigned from his position in the wake of the burner account controversy in Philadelphia, so now the search is open for a new general manager. And apparently there is an uproar, an uprising of fans who want the Sixers to bring back Sam Hinkie, the man who, of course, started the entire process of tanking. They ended up netting them their two superstars now, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Many people believe that Jerry Colangelo, who's still a head advisor to the ownership group, will not consider bringing in Hinkie to replace Brian. But apparently, according to the fans, he's the one that the people want. So, is it a good call or a bad call for the Sixers to consider bringing Hinkie back as their general manager, Fred?
It's a bad call. Yeah, he may have contributed greatly to getting them to where they're at. He also drafted like 35 centers, if you remember correctly. He was like a crazy man. And what did he draft, three centers?
Yeah, you add Noel if you want to throw him in there, along with Okafor, Joel Embiid.
Right, I mean, no, bad call. And by the way, Jerry Colangelo is the advisor to the ownership group. He put his son in as general manager.
Correct, to replace Hinkie.
So in essence, he had to get rid of his own son because of the burner accounts. Yeah, it's a bad call. David Griffin is the guy. If they want LeBron, that's the guy that should go there.
Rodney?
Yeah, bad call. I mean, because we all talk about the process now because Embiid and Simmons had fantastic seasons. You can't forget about all the whiffs that he had along the way when they were tanking and that team was horrible and it was bad for the fans. It's amazing that the fans want him back. But bad call. You can't bring it back. You got to move on. You got to do a clean slate. And if you're trying to attract some new, fresh free agents, as Fred mentioned, a la LeBron or anybody else, you got to start with the GM and bring somebody in that's respected from the other players.
Vic?
Bad call. If I'm hiring a GM, I'm hiring Rich Paul from LeBron's group, his posse. You want LeBron and Philly's in the mix. You got the Lakers, you got the Rockets, you got the Sixers. Maybe, talk to Golden State, but that's smoke. Philly's a real contender for LeBron James. I'm hiring all things LeBron as my next GM.
You mean Rich Paul as agent?
Yes.
Oh, like what the Lakers did with Rob Pelinka.
Exactly. I'm hiring Rich Paul.
That's a name I haven't heard.
Golden State did it. They hired an agent as well, Bob Myers.
So Bob Myers. The
great Bob Myers.
Mm-hmm. Former host of Bruin Talk, by the way.
That's
Bob
right.
Myers way back.
Got it started right here.
Well,
really?
Sure as hell did.
LA without. Sports.
Long time ago.
We're a launching pad, baby.
That's right.
then what happened to us?
we're in the process of takeoff. We're in the process of takeoff.
Okay. Right. We're taxing.
Good call or bad call for my Arizona guys in there for DeAndre Ayton to decline all pre-draft workouts. Arizona big man DeAndre Ayton did do a workout for the Phoenix Suns, who of course have the top overall pick in the draft. And after that said, that's it. I'm not doing any more personal workouts for any other teams. This despite the fact that he was not given assurances by the Phoenix front office of anything. He just said, quote, nobody told me I'm going first. I just think I deserve it. I've worked hard. Good call or bad call for him to decline workouts with other teams, citing just the belief that he believes he's going to be the number one overall pick, despite the fact that no one has told him such. Fred.
Bad call. Bad call because it shows an enormous amount of arrogance. You know, you're going to the NBA. Let's put it like this. You need the NBA more than the NBA needs you, because the NBA is there and will be there. and you think you are so good and so talented that you don't need to do anything that anyone else would do. You know, life is a long-term proposition, and along the way you meet many people. And if you snub somebody, turn your back on them, or tell them no, I don't care how talented you are, they'll remember that. And there will be a point in time where somebody may have to make a decision on him. And he'll think back to those days and go, no, I think it's a terrible call.
Rodney?
Good call. Love it. Love it. Never lost. Listen.
Yeah, you've lost.
I lost a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Arizona actually lost in the first round of the tournament this year.
They did. Look, he's about to be the number one or two pick in the draft. Three at worst. And he's not LiAngelo Ball where he's got to go earn it and try to work himself into the league. He's not that guy. You got enough tape on me. You've seen me play. You've seen me play. If you want me, draft me number one. I don't need to go do some dog and pony show for every team out there. All right? Good call. You seen the tape. You see the tape. You want me, draft me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get out here and try to hurt myself and work out for all these teams. Draft me or don't draft me. But I'm going somebody's place. I'm going somewhere to dominate.
All right.
Good call.
Break the tie, Vic.
Bad call. Bad call.
Dang, Vic, I thought you were with me.
DeAndre, who are you? You dominated a weak Pac-12 conference.
Oh.
That's all you've done. You've done nothing. But you act like the cock of the walk? You've done nothing. You haven't played one possession in the association. This arrogant philosophy that I am the number one. You may not even be number one. Just because you worked out with the Phoenix Suns, who cares? Obviously, he's looming as the number one choice. But to turn your back on the rest of the league, arrogant, he's the cock of the walk in this moment. But like Fred said, it may come back to haunt him.
How about this one? Good call or bad call for the Celtics to entertain trading Kyrie Irving this summer? From Yahoo Sports insider Chris Mannix, he said on his recent podcast that the Celtics are a little bit scared that Kyrie Irving could walk after next season and end up joining the New York Knicks organization. He grew up a big-time Knicks fan, and they are afraid that Kyrie Irving could end up leaving and leaving them high and dry with no compensation. So that's why some are thinking they could entertain and take calls this summer for Kyrie Irving services. Would it be a good call or bad call for the Celtics to entertain trading Kyrie this summer? Rodney.
You know, you asked me 6 months ago, I'd have said you're out of your mind. Out of your mind. But then watching the Boston Celtics play down the stretch and play in the playoffs and the young players do what they do, boy, you could get a lot for Kyrie Irving. And, you know, given his mentality, given his, you know, him not knowing or anyone knowing what he's going to do next, he may leave you high and dry the following year. So, while you have an opportunity to trade him, get something for him, it wouldn't be out of the realm. So I think it's a good call for the Celtics to entertain it because you may get four or five players for him and picks. Good call.
All right, Fred?
Good call. You don't ever want to see anybody get hurt, ever. But his injury showed one thing. They're just fine without him. So he becomes a very valuable bargaining chip now. And maybe you get a good player and a high draft pick for him. And if that's the case, you just got better. So whether he's on the roster or not, you can improve. I think it's a good call for them to entertain that possibility. By the way, it'd be a good call for him to think about trading Gordon Hayward as well. And you know something? That was a terrible injury. But what if you can get two number one picks? You get younger. You've got a great core now. I think everybody's on the table there.
How about you, Vic?
Sensational call. What a chip is Kyrie Irving. You heard the Cavaliers. If they had Kyrie Irving against the Warriors, they might have won a couple games this series. Explosive. But the young blood Celtics have proven they don't need no Kyrie Irving to get to the NBA Finals. They just need maybe some more fine-tuning. But if they can get a haul. But the Knicks have nothing to give. If they give a Porzingis. Kyrie Irving. Knicks have nothing. The Knicks are garbage.
Your hometown, Vic.
I know my Knicks, and they're garbage. They got nothing to give the Celtics for Kyrie Irving.
Well, the implication is he would leave there and walk to New York as a free agent, and they would just sign him off the street.
Well, he's from the New York metropolitan area.
No doubt. To Fred's point, by the way, before I check out of here, just a point on Kyrie Irving. Fred, you mentioned injury. When it comes to Kyrie, it's injuries.
Yeah,
and plural. He has had multiple major ones, and guys don't get better, or you know, their bodies hold up even better the older that they get. So
even going back to college,
exactly. Yeah. So this might be a time to sell high if they can get some good compensation for him. And that's good call, bad call, y'all.
All right, nice job, Kevin. Well done.
Okay, figure.
So Petros is here today, right?
Petros is here.
Petros. All right, and Dan Wojcicki is sitting in for Matt.
It's Wojcicki week.
Yep. Wojcicki week.
Do we expect him to show up? Well, Wojcicki will be here. He'll come in.
Oh, yeah. Wojcicki's in the house.
Yeah, he never misses a chance. So he'll run in here, as a matter of fact. He'll sprint in, and maybe Petros will join him next.
Yeah.
Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports.